Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Jesus says, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which is seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So I've entitled the message, Thy Closet. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for this privilege to open Your Word together. And Lord, we just want to please You during this time. We open our hearts now to hear from You. May the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and truly speak to us today. Work miracles in every heart according to Thy will. We love You so much and pray, Lord, that we'll leave changed today. We'll leave saying it was truly good to be in the house of the Lord. Thy will be done now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you notice Jesus said when? In verse 5, He didn't say if. Because there is a command to pray, but Jesus is basically saying, if you're a Christian, you're going to pray. It's a natural part of the Christian life to maintain fellowship with our best friend. Amen? The one that saved us from hell, the one that gave us eternal life. Why would we not want to spend time with Him? And, of course, we know what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. We could go on and on. The assumption here is Christians will pray. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. How many of our prayers are hypocritical? I think we're going to be shocked when we get to heaven. And not just the fact that, you know, praying in public can be hypocritical, but often our prayers, what we're asking for, can be hypocritical, can be selfish. You know, James talks about this in James chapter 4. He says, you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. God is not a vending machine. God is our Savior, our Creator, our Redeemer. He loves us, but He's also our Father, and He wants what's best for us. And often what's best for us isn't just to give us everything we ask for. I hope you didn't raise your kids that way. You probably didn't have the money to raise your kids that way, but if you did, nothing creates a more spoiled person than someone who gets anything they ask for every time. And it just doesn't work like that. God knows us. God knows what's good for us, and God's going to give us what's best for us. But often our prayers can be hypocritical. But He's especially speaking of the Pharisees here, where they would not necessarily maintain a good relationship with the Lord because they probably weren't even saved, but they would stand in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets and pray aloud and pray big, long, flowery prayers that had nothing to do with pleasing God. It had to do with what people heard. And if we pray in a way that is to please others, we've wasted our time. As Jesus says in verse 5, they have their reward. If anything that we do is to please man, is to please ourselves, we have a reward. And God has no obligation to answer. And so that's a good lesson on prayer in itself there in verse 5. But verse 6 is the key to our message today. Again, but thou when thou prayest. It's not if, it's when. He says, enter into thy closet. You say, well, is this supposed to be a literal closet? Well, that's up to you. But we know the point that Jesus is trying to make here. He wants us to get alone with God every day. To get alone with the God that saved us, the God that loves us, the God that's been so good to us. God wants us to set aside a time every day to be alone with Him. It's really not complicated. And you know, there's a few people in the Bible that maybe you've heard of. They had a private time with God. And I'd like us just to look at their examples real quick. Let's go to Psalm 5. Maybe you've heard of a man named David. I hope so, because the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And here in Psalm 5, David revealed one of the secrets of his walk with God. Psalm 5, verse 3, and we could spend the rest of the morning just reading in the Psalms David's love for the Lord and his relationship that he had with the Lord. But here in Psalm 5, verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." David understood the importance of starting off his day with God. And he did. Then there was another man in the book of Daniel. His name was Daniel. You've probably heard of him too. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. And see that he also understood the importance of spending time alone with God. Of course, Daniel was during the time of the captivity when Israel had been taken away because of their wickedness and their sin to Babylon. And Daniel was one of those that had been taken captive. And yet, Daniel still understood. Notice Daniel 6:10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Now Daniel was a very busy man. Daniel was in charge, basically was second in command under the king over the entire kingdom. Very busy man. And yet, three times a day, he would go back to his house, get on his knees, and pray. That's quite an example. Then if you go to Acts chapter 10, we have another example. You probably heard of a man named Peter. Acts chapter 10, he also understood the importance of having time alone with God each day. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up onto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." Peter understood the importance of setting aside this hour of prayer to spend with God. And then one that, I don't know, it may in some ways be a bit of a surprise. If you go to Mark chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ in His human form maintained a prayer life with the Father while he had limited himself to humanity in a sense. As a man, he understood how important it was to pray. Notice Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." I'll ask it this way. If David and Daniel and Peter and Jesus needed a prayer closet, how much more do we? You know, Jesus mentioned the Pharisees. He said, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." In Matthew 15:8. Jesus says, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet." He knew that we could not maintain good fellowship with our Lord without getting alone and spending time with Him. It is commanded, it is expected, and it is necessary. And if we don't do it, we will not have the Christian life God wants us to have. I tell the kids in the Awana clubs, those that have been saved, I say it's like Christian breathing. Christian breathing is, you read the Word, that's you breathe in. You pray, that's your breathing out. You need both. You can't grow without both. You got to be in the Word every day. You got to be in prayer every day. And Jesus is explaining this to us. And He says He not only wants us to pray every day, but He wants us to get alone with God every day. And He says, verse 6, "Pray to thy Father." Now, as He was saying these words, He was surrounded with people who claimed God as their Father, but God wasn't their father. Matter of fact, at one point of his ministry, when the Pharisees tried to claim that they were going to heaven because they were Jews, Jesus said that to them in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." God is not your father if you're not born again. Because if you're not born again, you're not a child of God. And until you're born again, the devil's your father. But when we are born again, it's an amazing truth, but the one who created the entire universe becomes our father. It's amazing that he would choose to do that, to make us his children. But he did. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the Bible says, John 1:11 and 12, even to them that believe on his name. The Bible says in Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we become God's children. And God, our Father, wants his children to spend time with him. Isn't that interesting? When our parent, when our children are growing up, do we want them to spend time with us? Of course we do. God is our Father. God created us for fellowship. Think about the Garden of Eden. What does it say before the fall? It says that God came down and walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and they fellowshiped together. And that was broken with the fall, because access to God had been taken away through sin. But the Bible says that when we're saved, we have access again to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're told, Hebrews 4, to come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can now approach the Holy of Holies, the throne of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, because of Jesus Christ. And he says here in verse 6, "Thy Father which seeth in secret." This is important to God, that we have this secret time with him. Let's go to Psalm 51. I'd like to show you just a couple of scriptures to show that what God is after is honesty and transparency in our prayer life. One of the reasons why he wants us to pray in secret, because when we pray in secret, we can be completely honest about where we are in our walk, about our sin, about our situation in our lives. We can just pour it out to God. He already knows it anyway. But we don't have to keep secrets, because keeping secrets is just foolish. It's one of our reactions to our sin. Adam and Eve tried it. They tried to hide from God. You can't hide from God. Let me tell you, one of the first things to go when a Christian starts backsliding is his prayer life. It goes right alongside of being in the Word. You talk to a Christian who's not walking with God, they're not faithful to the Lord, they're not where they should be in their Christian life, and you ask them, "Are you in the Word every morning? Do you get on your knees every day and spend time alone with God?" They're going to tell you, no. Psalm 51:6. Notice what David said here. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." God wants truth in the inward parts. God wants us to get alone with him, which seeth in secret, and be honest. It gives us an opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God to point out sin in our lives, which he will do. And as he does, there's our opportunity to say, "Lord, I confess that sin. Help me with it." The Bible says if we confess and forsake our sins, we'll obtain mercy. But if we try to hide our sins, the Bible says we won't be blessed. Look at another verse, Psalm 90, verse 8. Talking about getting alone with God here. In Matthew 6:6, here in Psalm 98, the Bible says, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." You mean we have secret sins? Of course we do. We all do. We sin in our thought life. Those are secrets to everybody else. But they're not secrets to God. And getting alone with God gives us an opportunity to confess those things and ask for help. Now look at another one, Psalm 145 and verse 18. The Bible says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." There's the key phrase of Psalm 145:18, in truth. You know, when you're praying in a group of people, it's one thing to pray a flowery prayer and act like you're all spiritual. But when it's just you and God, it's kind of hard to put on airs, isn't it? I mean, who are you putting them on for? Hopefully not God. God wants us to spend time with Him in truth because He is our Father. And as it says, pray to thy Father which is in secret. The day we were born again, we were given the right to say, as it says in Romans 8:15, Abba, Father. Abba meaning like daddy or dad. We've been given the privilege to call God our Father. And now, as we get alone with God in secret, we also have the privilege of giving Him not only our sins, but our burdens. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, 1 Peter 5:7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. Now we have an opportunity to give it all to God. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. This is what God wants from us. To shut the door of thy closet. And notice it says in verse 6, and thy Father which seeth in secret. Do you think God wants to answer our prayers? He does. Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then if you would, look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, where the Bible actually refers to our prayers as something that God delights in. Proverbs 15:8. The Bible says here in Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The one who made the stars actually delights in our prayers. Imagine that. And that's why He tells us, Psalm 81:10, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. It's even okay to pray big prayers. We recently looked at that phrase in Isaiah, around 45, I think, where God said, command ye me. God is glorified when we ask big. God is glorified when we ask Him for anything, because we're acknowledging that He has the power to give it. And that brings Him glory. We're saying, Lord, I know all things are possible with God. I know You can do anything. I know You can do everything. So I'm asking You for some big things. That's okay. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to pray limited prayers. Are we told to pray and hold back and be squeamish about it? No. Matter of fact, Jesus says, if you pray as a grain of a mustard seed and you'll pray to this mountain, be removed out yonder hence. That's a pretty big prayer. Moving a mountain. We are encouraged to pray big. We are encouraged to pray all the time. We are encouraged to pray for everything. We're never told to hold back in the magnitude of our prayers or the frequency of our prayers. I mean, pray without ceasing. There's no holding back in the frequency there. But He says, thy Father which seeth in secret. God is waiting for His children to get alone with just Him. When it's just us and God, nobody else around, that's when God says, now we can do some business. Thy Father which seeth in secret, notice it says, shall reward thee openly. What a blessing. I believe that every Christian should have a prayer list, and that's fine. Although we always have to be careful that we don't get to the point where we're just reading a list to God. But there needs to be some leading of the Holy Spirit too. You know, the Bible says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26. So yes, we need a prayer list. Why? Because we're forgetful. Especially as we get older. Get a little bit of gray in the hair. It gets harder to remember things. Amen, Brother Norm? I mean, I wouldn't know about getting old, but I'm just asking Brother Norm about it. Anyway, I think that every Christian should also have a separate list of things that nobody else knows they're praying for. You know why? Because when God answers, we know whose prayer He answered. Amen? If we're praying for things that everybody else is praying for, that's fine. Because there's power in prayer. Where the two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. We see the power of corporate prayer in the book of Acts over and over again. But there needs to be some prayer requests that are just between us and God. Because then when He rewards us openly, when He answers, we know He answered my prayer because nobody knew about this prayer. And you know what that does? That builds our faith. So that we'll pray bigger next time. Look at Matthew chapter 7, the next chapter over, where Jesus talks more about prayer and rewarding us openly. Verse 7, He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if the son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" Your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask. You think God's encouraging us to pray there? Absolutely. He says, ask. Seek, knock, ask, and it shall be given you. What a blessing. And prayer is an opportunity, by the way, for God also to continue to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, which is His ultimate goal for us here on earth, is to make us more like Jesus. You know, we become a lot like the people that we spend a lot of time with. We see it when teenagers spend a lot of time with the wrong kind of friends. They start acting like their wrong kind of friends. Or if they spend time with the right kind of friends, they start acting like the right kind of friends. That's a scriptural principle, by the way. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But would it be possible that if we spent more time with God, we might be more like God? I think that's what God's telling us. And do we need more victory? Do we need more wisdom? Do we need more grace? Do we need more wisdom and forgiveness? Do we need more joy? Do we need more peace in our lives? Of course we do. Where should we be asking for those things? In our prayer closet. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. In James 1:5. That verse, Philippians 4:6, which says, bring everything to God. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God promises if we spend time with Him, more peace. Promises if we spend time with Him, more wisdom. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God promises if we spend more time with Him, more grace. More joy. More victory. Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The flesh indeed is willing, but the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It all comes down to spending more time with God. Entering into thy closet. Does it have to be a literal closet? Not necessarily, although it wouldn't hurt. It just needs a place you can get alone, where you know it's just you and God. You can just pour out your heart to your best friend. a lot of times, you know, one of the most common questions that new Christians ask me is, how do I pray? Because they hear people pray in church services, and a lot of times that's the only prayers they've ever heard, other than maybe they were Catholic and they heard repetitious prayers or something like that, but they really don't know what to say. And I always tell them the same thing. I said, the Bible doesn't tell us to pray a certain way. When you get alone with God, you talk to Him like He's right next to you and like He's your best friend. Hold a conversation with Him. That's what God wants. He didn't say, I want you to pray this way. No. Now, there are some certain ingredients He wants in our prayer lives. He wants us to ask for things for others. He wants us to ask for forgiveness. He wants us to ask for our daily needs. He wants us to pray for His return and so forth. But nowhere does He say, I want you to pray with these exact words. He even tells us, don't use vain repetitions later on in Matthew chapter 6. Avoid it. Don't do it. It doesn't bring glory to God, because that's not prayer. That's just reciting words. Prayer is talking to God. And He wants us to do it in our closet. So I hope that we are. And I hope that we'll just continue to give God more and more of our precious time to our precious Savior in our closet. Let's pray.